I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, coming live from our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently here on this incredibly busy Monday after incredibly awesome Sunday around the NFL. I'm going to put that on hold for a little bit. We'll certainly circle back to the NFL, but wanted to carve out some time for the Heisman Trophy ceremony, Kyler Murray, and you know what happened with some of the tweets that surfaced that were uncovered. Also, Joel Embiid. We'll get to the Sixers situation, not going as well as it's supposed to. And now Embiid expressed a little frustration over the weekend about his role in the offense, and Coach Brown's got his work cut out for him a little bit if they want to stabilize that.
Yeah,
not that I think it's going to get ugly like Butler in Minnesota, but just from a basketball point of view, they've got a couple of things they need to smooth out. So we could certainly get to that as well.
It's funny because I told you this event that I went to for the governor, Tom Wolf, who was the up for election in Pennsylvania. He ultimately won, but Joel Embiid was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I was like, oh, man, your game is so, you know, diverse. You out shooting threes and everything. And he said, yeah, I'm going to do less of that this year. That's what he said.
I remember we said that. Yeah.
He said, I'm going to do less of that this year.
I remember that.
At the crux of his frustration is the fact that Coach Brown is kind of forcing him out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it.
We'll get
it's
to
interesting,
it.
Though.
We'll get to it. The Heisman Trophy ceremony was great. I did watch most of it live. Of course, they drag it out. You know, you got to watch 55 minutes before you actually get the winner. But I love seeing the old winners. You know, like Billy Sims. You see what he was rocking, the Oklahoma outfit. And
Eddie George.
He looks good. Eddie still looks good. Doug Flutie was there. It was really, you know, it's a great trip down memory lane. And it is interesting to see how many of these players don't go on to do anything in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You see Spurrier, if you're watching us on TV, he was a great quarterback at Duke.
Yeah, just because you have a Heisman and you're the best player in college football doesn't guarantee you success in the National Football League. There's many myriad reasons. Some of them for these quarterbacks, you just run an offense that is nothing similar to what you're going to play in the NFL. A lot of guys, it's injury. You know, but some of them just they get tired of it and they go on and do other things. Their college career becomes a defining moment of their athletic life, and the Heisman Trophy is the culmination of that. But I was surprised, BT, about how big of a victory Kyler Murray had, and maybe we're just a prisoner of the rhetoric that was around these two athletes. Dwayne Haskins deserved to be in consideration. His season was epic. It was unbelievable, record-breaking as far as Ohio State and Big Ten, et cetera. But he was a distant third as it came to the Heisman Trophy. But all season long, it was Tua. It was Tua, because of how he started this season, which actually was the end of last season. It was epic, his come-from-behind a victory against Georgia in the championship game. And so we put Tua on this pedestal. It was extraordinary.
Well, he kind of put himself there.
Well, he did, but I'm talking about coming into this season. Last year, he was a savior for the Alabama Crimson Tide as they won a national championship. And then this year, we didn't know. I mean, we didn't even really know if he was going to start this year because it was between him and Jalen Hurts. And so when he won the starting job, we kind of set him up. We didn't know how he'd play throughout the entirety of a regular season because we'd never seen him play throughout the entirety of a regular season.
Very true.
So we stuck him up on this pedestal because of what he did in the national championship game. And then he did nothing but justify it.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
And you watched him, you're like, wow, this is a souped-up Alabama team.
Exactly.
We haven't seen them doing this.
They never.
It's a little different.
Nick Saban doesn't want to throw the ball 30 times a game. But you know what?
He's got somebody who can.
You can.
Yeah, I know.
And so the narrative was all Tua. But if you actually were following Oklahoma, and I'm not just talking about their way that they were squeaking out wins like they did in overtime against Army, like they did against West Virginia in the penultimate game of their season to get into the Big 12 championship, if you were watching them play, you were seeing Kyler Murray do stuff that was sick, right? It was just these let's run for a first down, because we're going to do a zone read, and all of a sudden it's a 60-yard touchdown. or you got to put the ball in a certain spot down the field and keep up your scoring because your defense can't stop anybody. He'd do it. Like, he always showed up each and every week, but we weren't talking about it as much because their program wasn't as storied or as hyperbolic as the Alabama program was.
Yeah, but Baker won it the year before. If there's ever time for you to be on the public radar, it's the year after the guy wins the Heisman from Oklahoma.
But was anybody talking about Oklahoma as being one of the top teams in the country other than the fact that they were, you know, ranked at the beginning of the season and they kept themselves there? I don't think we were thinking about it that way because they fired their defensive coordinator in the middle of the season.
Because but specific to why I don't think Murray got the love early, the traction early, because they lost pretty early. They lost pretty early to Texas.
Yeah.
And at that point.
But it was Texas. And I Texas understand. Texas wasn't like a.
But Texas proved out as the year lengthened that Texas is actually better than we thought.
Yes, agreed.
Not that it was. It's not like they lost to. Rutgers. They didn't lose to Rutgers. Yeah. But that was, you know, we all thought that maybe next year's the year Herman really pops. That'll be, what, third year of Texas?
Third
year. And then as the season progressed, we're like, wow, Texas is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma got a chance to obviously take care of business and get a little revenge, and they did. I think if they don't lose that game, I think that we would have mentioned Murray with more aggression and more conviction earlier.
Even if they had won it the same way that it played out, right? They lost because he had to do a furious comeback. But if he had won it instead of losing that game against Texas, by the way, neutral site, so it's not even – so it's not that it's a wash, but it's a neutral site game. If he had won that game in the fashion that he needed to win it, I think he would have jumped above – at least he would have been on par, at least in our national narrative with Tua, because he had to be unbelievable each and every week. And I don't think enough people paid attention to how great he had to play in order for them to be competitive.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I think you also have to factor in, I mean, listen, you start the season against Florida Atlantic. Nobody's going to care about that. You're supposed to put up whatever you put up, and he did.
And I did that game, and it was...
Well, you cared about it.
I did, honestly...
you know what I mean.
Honestly, BT, midway through, I didn't. Because we're talking about the four-string quarterback. Gotcha. And I'm not even joking.
I hear you. I remember seeing the Instagram photo. That's right. I forgot that you did that game. So, Florida Atlantic, all right, whatever. Then UCLA, all right, Chip Kelly trying to lay a template here. They're not going to get, you know, you can't overreact to that. Iowa State, all right, it can clip you on certain seasons, but, you know, certainly not a power at this point. And then, you know, week four, and we referenced the Army game. We talked about it when we were down in Philly this past Friday, which was awesome, by the way. 28-21 in overtime.
I know it.
And he only threw for 165 yards. So, you look at week four, they were unimpressed. And I don't know that we thought Army was as good as they proved to be. We knew that they were good, but that was early. He didn't play well. The numbers were paltry against Army. And then 2 weeks after the Army game, he loses. So I don't think that he was treated unfairly. I don't know that we should critique ourselves for not being more aware of what Kyler Murray was. I think Kyler Murray just started to crank it up and go bonkers as the season progressed.
Yeah. Now, here's the question.
And I think we reacted to that.
And I think the voters, rightfully so, waited. They knew that this would be one of those races that wasn't going to be as clear-cut as the national conversation was. And if you waited, and I think most of them, I think 12% put in their votes before the championship weekend. The rest, the 88% waited. And if you waited and saw Tua in the SEC championship compared to, and you're on the fence, compared to Kyler Murray in the Big 12 championship, it solved the question for you. It was easy. Now, the question that follows is, were these tweets that we're now going to get to from 2012 when Kyler Murray was 15 years. He's 21 now, right? So 15 years old, 14 or 15 years old. Does this overshadow his accomplishment as a Heisman Trophy winner and really his next step, which is the college football playoff against Alabama?
Not for me, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No chance. No, there's only one of two routes you can go. You can deflect or you can own it. Mm-hmm. And he owned it. Now, he's very soft-spoken. I told him we had him on Tops yesterday. We asked him about this. He said, you know, I already addressed this. But he expounded a little bit. He gave us, you know, an answer. He apologized for it. He said he was 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was 14 years old, I stole my dad's brand-new Nissan Maxima. And then I lied to him about it, and I stole it the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I did when I was 14 or 15.
Which is worse than this.
Absolutely, because I could have hurt myself, God forbid, or hurt somebody else. Mm-hmm. I was 14. I took the car out for a joyride. I mean, no drinking, certainly nothing, but still dumb. He put something out there. First of all, I want to know why his team failed them. How is that not scrubbed?
Yeah. I mean, you know my philosophy, BT. I think I started saying this about a year ago, maybe even longer, because we've had this issue come up multiple times. When you get to college and you become a star, I don't care what profound you think you said in your social media. If you're a university or a player's team or parent, whoever, scrub all of that social media from before you were in college. It does you no good to have a history on social media these days, because it's going. You think you're nobody. You think that I'm just talking to my friends. I have 50 followers, or maybe 100 if I'm a star in high school, or
13 have eggs instead of
exactly.
Facial profiles.
They're all fake. You kind of fake bought them.
The
and
bots.
You didn't know. Scrub your social profile, because it does you no good to have something like this to come up. So you're right. After seeing it happen so many times, Josh Allen is a recent example as well with Wyoming. You have to get rid of it. But I think we also realize that fans and really you forgive it as long as it's not egregious. And to me, this wasn't egregious.
I didn't think so either.
This was Kyler.
It's unfortunate.
It was Kyler Murray using a word that 13, 14-year-olds and who are just hitting adolescence flippantly toss at each other. And
different variations of the word, but
yeah, then
we've all used them in the street playing ball.
I agree.
You're 11, 12, 13, of course.
And technically, it's not even whatever. The dictionary definition is strange or odd. It's not what it's come to be known as colloquially. But it's one of those things where you don't think he means anything homophobic by saying it.
I don't think that your brain is, number one, conditioned, and number two, mature enough to even have a real intelligent grasp on what gay means. Like, I don't even think it's really on your... I mean, of course, you literally know what it means.
Yeah, of course.
But you're not prepared to comment on it because... listen, I don't... By the way, this came up yesterday in the newsroom. I'm not going to identify the person, but... I'm not going to say the word, but... One of the guys who was is on staff. Mm-hmm. He said we were talking about this during. I wasn't in one of the segments, and we were talking about this during the break. And he said that did he say his brother or his cousin is gay?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him about the word that Kyler Murray used, which begins with a Q. I'm not going to say it. And his cousin or his brother, I think it was his cousin who is gay, said that's not offensive at all. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if that's just because he's cool with...
Yeah, in that community, in the LGBT
and now
Q community. It's not...
I don't know. Is that...
I don't know either.
Wildly offensive?
I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I was going to say it's not even on the same planet or the same orbital rotation as the use of the N-word, but then again, that depends upon who you ask.
Yeah. It's all open to interpretation by the... person who is going to be offended.
Correct, which is why I'll never offer a blanket assessment of how anybody should feel. But I guess what I think is interesting and what it's important for this show to piece this conversation and move forward, you know, do we hold... I mean, obviously, it's not going to be held against him. He won the trophy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to take it back. He's going to go play baseball for the A's.
Yep.
And I said to him, too, I said, man, your speech was really poignant. Again, he's soft-spoken. But the way he spoke about his mom?
Yeah.
That's a good kid.
I agree.
With a good, stable family.
And
you want to try to ruin his life?
I agree. And the way he spoke about Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, yes. Lincoln Riley had tears in his eyes.
I know it.
I know. So, and I thought, by the way, all three young men are really good kids.
Agreed.
They get along very well. Mm-hmm. They have great mutual respect, which is just dripping through the TV screen for one another.
Yep.
This should be a time to celebrate. Granted, he had to own it, and he did. And if he were to say this now, and he's AAA for the A's, it's a different conversation. It is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the A's, even then, maybe, hopefully, if he owns it. But you, there's got to be wisdom with age. And when you're 14 and 15, you don't know anything about the world.
No.
So I will always give them the latitude and the room to explain themselves and apologize and move on.
100%.
It's a good young man right here.
100% agree.
Come on.
And you talk about the other two kids, Dwayne Haskins, who grew up in Jersey. I didn't realize this. Yeah. He was a Giants fan.
No.
He was a fan of mine. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him in New York Giants blue. That would be really cool.
You think the Giants would take him with a top 10 pick?
I don't know.
Is he that good?
He probably needs...
I think he's a little bit... The Haskins type is a little higher at this point for me.
We talked to Kurt Herbstreit. He's that kid that needs another year in college, that needs to grow being the man,
mm-hmm.
as opposed... Because he just jumped in this year, and he was unbelievable. But 1 year of getting it done doesn't necessarily translate into the next level. I'd like to see him do it again, but I'd love to see him in blue.
The problem is if he comes out, sometimes you can get, if you throw him to the Wolves too early.
I know it.
Sometimes the damage is irreparable.
But that's why I don't think he would get thrown to the Wolves early if he came to the New York Giants, because Eli's going to be here for another year.
You think Eli's going to be back now?
I do.
Oh, God. I got to take a break on that note. I mean, I respect Eli, but I can't continue having these Eli conversations. Oh, God, really? All right, let's give you guys a chance to react to, you know, we've had this conversation before when it's flared up. Just a youthful indiscretion, provided there's ownership and an authentic apology. Where do you stand on this? And by the way, if you're gay, I would love to get a call from somebody who is offended or is not, where it directly applies to them. Would love to get that call. 855-212-4227. Joel Embiid as well. That's coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Got great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and a 15-minute save, 15% or more on car insurance. 24 minutes past the hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Got inbounds, out of bounds coming up. We'll do that next segment. Let's see what we got here. Santa is out.
What's he doing, by the way?
Who knows what he's
chilling?
Doing?
Chilling? Making it a long Santa's weekend after the Army-Navy game? Oh, he went. He went to the game.
He did.
It was a good game, too. Actually.
It was, by the way, I got hosed on that push.
I know.
Guy, Navy's. There were some. There's always big hits in that game. There were some really ferocious pops in the last quarter.
The last quarter, because it was the only game on Saturday. Yeah. The only football game on Saturday, and so the quarterback, they ran that trick play where the quarterback goes down the sideline. He got drilled.
He got crushed.
And it was, you know what? It was a legal hit.
Oh yeah.
It was the safety came over and drilled the quarterback. I forget who it was because he was a second string, or maybe even a third string quarterback. They changed a couple quarterbacks on Army side. Gets drilled. I'm like, oh, that's a helmet to helmet. They got a chance to win the game. It's actually a perfectly legal hit.
Those kids play so hard.
They really do.
The atmosphere was great. I'm happy that. You know, listen, I picked Army. You didn't make a pick. I thought Army would cover the number. Mm-hmm. You know, where I went to college, Marist is 25 miles from Army. A bunch of my buddies went to Army. I'm an Army guy compared to Navy.
Yep.
But I'm happy Navy didn't get throttled because you don't want to see those young men,
yeah.
you know, what they put in and what they'll eventually put in for our country. Yep. You don't want to see them lose 35-3. Yeah. Army's a lot better than Navy right now.
No, but Navy rose. The other way around. It was the Navy quarterback that got hit, not the Army quarterback that got hit.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a point where I thought Army was going to maybe run away with this. It was very low scoring early, mm-hmm. but then I'm like, all right, you could just kind of sense that Army was, or at least I thought they were, maybe drop one or two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that Navy would have the ability to answer, but they kept them in check. They scored late. Then when Army scored, I'm like, oh, I'm going to cover. I'm going to win. And then Navy pushed another one late across. They got that field goal at the end.
They did.
They got the long field goal, too, by the young man who missed the one last year in the snow.
Navy easily could have won this game, though, BT.
What do you mean? If they recovered the onsides after the field goal?
They fumbled. The quarterback gets down to the 3-yard or whatever it was, the five-yard line, and he gets drilled.
That's huge.
I mean, that Navy quarterback just kept getting drilled because the one I was just talking about was Navy. Navy, not Army. He got drilled on the pass, but going down to the goal line, he gets hit, makes a perfect read on the option. He keeps it, makes a guy miss, gets drilled, fumbles on the 3-yard line.
It was inside the five for sure.
Man. I mean, they score there.
I know.
It's a different game for Army.
But it was a great time. We were out there on Friday broadcasting. Yeah. The network was out there, the TV. So you see all the cameras we have to slog out there. So we certainly appreciate the efforts. Had great guests. We had Kirk Herbstreit stopped by. We had the great Roger Staubach. Mm-hmm. It was just a special, special day for special people. So it was awesome to be a part of. But I did push.
Yes.
At least I didn't lose with that.
Don't forget General Dawkins, who was awesome.
He was at the Heisman.
Yeah.
I saw him
in the back.
You see him? He was right next to Kyler Murray. He had like, you know, top shelf seat. Kevin's in Michigan. Kevin is on Tiki and Tierney. We'll get to the Embiid stuff in a minute. Kevin is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Kevin? How are you today?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Hey. My whole point is I'm more upset and disappointed in the folks who, like, look up these kids' social media accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, John Rocker, when he came out and said what he said,
yep.
He was a man.
Yeah.
And he was an idiot for saying it.
He was.
Well,
so if
well
you
said.
Wanna, you know, if you want to do that and you want to get on him, that's fine. But if you want to get on a 13-year-old kid, a 17-year-old kid, any of these kids, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed.
I know when I was 17, man, I was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, all of us were. Yeah. Seriously, Keith.
Trust
Kevin,
me, I hear you, Kev.
All of us were stupid, and we said stupid things, but there was no social media to clip us or document us as really. And the thing is, these tweets, like if you at someone, so if those who don't understand it, and I'm sure most people listening do if you don't, when you at someone, it doesn't necessarily go out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It goes directly to whoever you're talking to, but it is still public.
Yeah.
And so you can find it. And so these guys, they're talking to each other. It's him and his friends having these conversations with each other. Why don't I just do it on text messaging?
You can take a screenshot of that too and send it to somebody,
but
it's not like that safe.
But some troller who's digging through text messages isn't going to find it. Do it on WhatsApp or whatever. Do some another just Snapchat. It disappears,
yeah.
Right? And this wouldn't be an issue. It's just I just don't think there was malice in anything he was saying. Anything he was saying. I think he was being playfully stupid with his friends, mm-hmm. and it came back to bite him.
Listen, this is the tweet that I put out after I met him. You know, once we talked about it, I said it. I put this out yesterday morning. Right around 10:30, I said, it's a shame how some, because this will really summarize exactly where I'm coming from. And I think how most level-headed people who want to see the next generation do well and mm-hmm. not get derailed unnecessarily unless you deserve it.
Yeah.
I wrote, it's a shame how some people derive joy by attempting to tear somebody else down. Look at Kyler Murray's family. Look at his support base. It's top shelf. That's a good kid right there, despite infantile tweets that resurfaced from his youth. Own it, he did. Now keep doing your thing, young man.
Great.
I mean, I think most people would co-sign that approach. You
Great.
Know, and if not, certainly have a right to challenge yeah. it, and,
or hold
and that's
a grudge,
why, yeah.
or hold a grudge, or think of him a certain way.
Yep. But didn't a journalist uncover these tweets? That's most disconcerting. Mm-hmm. Ack, have you followed this story?
I have, but not to that extent.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but I saw Clay Travis, who would fit under the journalist column, I think. I saw a tweet from him.
Clay Travis.
So,
do you know who originally dug him up? I don't know. I don't know. I just saw them downstream. I didn't see the story from its inception.
Neither did I. D-Cell's looking for it. But, yeah, it wasn't like somebody.
Like a blogger.
His high school past or who was jealous or harbored resentment or just trying to throw shade or whatever.
What do you got? What do you got, D-Cell?
Scott Gleason from USA Today is the one that uncovered those tweets.
Hmm.
Why would you do that?
And what did he say around
Let's get him on the show.
Yeah.
Get him on the show.
I would love
I want to talk to Scott Gleason. Get him on.
And did he
Call
say
him
any,
today. Get him on the show.
Did he say anything, D-Cell, about it? After he tweet anything or did he just put them out there?
That is weak, man.
It's gotcha.
I don't know. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Wow, you got me. Yeah, no, you got me. But how old is Scott Gleason? Is he old? Is he young? I don't know him. I haven't read USA Today in mm-hmm. years. I mean, he's young. Here's a picture. Let me see. This is Scott Gleason. He spent his night digging through tweets so he could ruin Kyler Murray's Heisman night. He wanted fame, so he gets it. He's not a real jerk. This is more of a TMZ type, but he gets it. Whatever. I mean, I don't know. I would just love to ask him. I'm certainly not
mm-hmm.
going to take shots. I don't know him.
Yeah.
I'm going to question on the air, as I just did, why an adult would do this.
Yeah.
What's the motivation? What are you trying to connect to? What are you after?
I don't know.
You're trying to insert yourself
into
the story.
It doesn't feel egregious. It's not like this was something so grossly offensive that, I don't know, he's talking to his friends. He's not talking about, I don't know, it's an odd story. And the more you dig into it, the more it feels like someone's attention grabbing.
Did USA Today, well, USA Today doesn't publish over the weekend. because they it's Friday, yeah. And it lives into the weekend. So did he just post these on? I know we're throwing a bunch of questions at you here, D-Cell. He's trying to figure it out in real time. I hear you. Did he just post this on his Twitter account, or was it on USA Today's website, which does live over the weekend?
Yeah,
their hard copy obviously doesn't.
Yeah, their digital copies live over the weekend. Sure. So their social media sites and the electronic USA Today does live.
May have gotten the answer. Let's see. Now I'm USA Today verified site. As of early Sunday morning, 4 offensive tweets using an anti-gay slur remained active.
4
on the Heisman. 4 of them.
4. How many tweets does he have in his existence?
Don't know, but probably all 4 were the Q word that we're not going to say, obviously. He filed an article that USA Today elected to write about and print, not print, but publish. Mm-hmm. You know, let's see. I really want him on the show. D-Cell, deliver that. Can you make that happen? Call him. Tweet him. Seriously, get him on.
Yeah. I'll reach out to Kevin Manahan.
See what's going on.
I think Kevin Manahan is still there.
Simple question for you. What's the motivation?
Motivation? Don't know.
Neither do I, but we'll ask him. We'll give him a fair shot to respond. Hopefully we get him on. Inbounds, out of bounds. In a little bit, we've got the update from ACK. Joel Embiid, don't worry, we're going to get to it. Not happy, frustrated with his role since Jimmy Butler's arrived. So, still have a lot to get to. Here's ACK's update coming at you.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time now for Doing More. It's brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do Project Smarter. So the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. We take a look at somebody who basically doing it all for his team. Giants, running back, Saquon Barkley. They won 4 of 5. Too bad they waited so long to get going because they might actually have a chance to do a little something this year. This offense is looking different. As they routed the Redskins, Barkley rushed for 170, a touchdown, and he's now over 1,100 yards rushing on the season. Not to mention, what, Teague, 78 catches?
Yeah, 78 receptions for 600-plus yards and 4 touchdowns. Unbelievable. He's having a ridiculously amazing season. He doesn't look like a rookie, is the best way to put it.
No, and it's funny because, you know, we talked about this before, you know, Todd Gurley may be running down. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like wearing down a little bit here. And
his production says so.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and Kareem Hunt obviously is now no longer part of the equation. Le'Veon Bell hasn't played at all this year. There's obviously other terrific running backs. Lindsey's having a heck of a season.
Lamar Miller, Alvin Kamara you could throw in there, but he splits time with Mark Ingram. Christian McCaffrey's having a ridiculously great season.
Great the final.
They finally have decided to put it all on him. You know, take the load, Christian McCaffrey, and see if he can handle it. He's handling it.
Yeah.
He probably should have done it last year.
I'll tell you what, though. Panthers have issues.
Serious issues.
Carolina Panthers are a disaster.
4 in a row now?
5.
5 in a row?
It's 5,
serious,
right?
Serious
it's 5.
Issues.
Big issues. You know, start to wonder now, Ron Rivera definitely back next season? I don't know. I mean, because
the fact that you have to ask the question tells you a lot.
Yeah. And it's funny. Now, this obviously is fluid as we go on here, but it looked like Vance Joseph, and he looked like he had saved his job, and very well might have. We're certainly not in the business of trying to get people fired, but when you lose to the 49ers and you lose in largely uninspiring, unimpressive fashion, as they did, they just pretty much got rolled. They looked pretty bad. Especially I know they've got some injuries. Yeah, I understand that.
But still, they had worked themselves back into the conversation.
Yeah, that's a confounding loss.
It doesn't make sense.
It's one thing if you lose like at the gun, a 55-yard field goal. They didn't look ready to play.
Yeah, they decided not to cover the tight end.
I know. Kittle's good, man.
He had like
he's really
40
good.
Fantasy points. I'm telling you.
How long was that one that he was that like 80? How long was that? 85 yards? 85,
I think. 80 something. It was 80 something. He's a tight end.
But most of these tight ends, it's not Bavaro.
But still,
these guys have wiggle.
Still.
Kelsey could do
it's a
that.
Tight end.
Yeah, he's a tight end. I hear you. Ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
Yes, let's go.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go, bud. Start a little hoops. Now, the Phoenix Suns are 4-22.
I know
they're young, but between Booker and Ayton, you brought in Trevor Reed, 4-22?
Yeah.
Hey, good at all. They have lost 8 straight, and thus they're looking to sell off some pieces here before we even get to the new year. Their most valuable trade asset, that's veteran Trevor Ariza. The Lakers now reported to have interest in the 33-year-old former NBA champion, played for a minute with the UCLA Bruins. He won the title back in 09 with the Lake Show. So the interest is twofold here. Ariza surely would help solidify LA's defense this season. Plus, he's a pretty good shooter from downtown, which they could always use. Anybody can in the NBA. Ariza's contract also expires at the end of the season. So by bringing him in, it wouldn't prevent the Lakers from going after other big-time free agents next summer. It would not compromise that. Obviously, very important. All right, Teak, in or out. Ariza will be traded to the Lakers this season.
Well, this can't happen until December 15th when the guys who just come on can officially be traded. And the Lakers have to make a decision about whether or not this is a season that they're going to make a run. Now, the question, do you think they can make a run? I don't know. I mean, they may be fooling themselves, and even though they're sitting, they're the top four. They're five. They're five now in the Western Conference. If they can beat the Warriors or even the Thunder, who are playing really good as of late. So if they make that determination, it would still take a lot for this trade to get done. So I'm going to say out of bounds. The Phoenix Suns are also talking to 8 other teams. And the one player for the Lakers that they're talking about trading, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, actually has veto power over the trade if he doesn't want to go somewhere that is not to his liking. So they'd have to make it a third team. And I think it's more complicated than it sounds. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say inbounds, but fully recognizing that there's a long line for his services. I mean, imagine him on the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard and those guys. Are you kidding me?
He's going to be great wherever because he's such a defensive asset.
Yeah, his skills are incredibly transferable. You don't have to change anything you do. He shows up, he's going to play defense, and defense travels, and he's going to knock down shots in the spacing, the modern NBA. So I'm going to say yes, but the other thing to consider as well, because the Suns are so bad, there's also value in having somebody that's a pro in that locker room to kind of keep things going in the right direction.
Yeah, you don't
learn how to be a pro.
Yeah, you don't want all young guys. Let's not forget James Jones is there. General manager, and he did a solid LeBron
yes,
and the Lakers by releasing
Chandler,
buying out Chandler, Tyson Chandler, who then signed. He backs up still, but he's a valuable player that they were able to pick up because he got released. So
the West is wacky, man. Listen, the Warriors will get right. You got Draymond coming back. He's missed 11 games. They'll get their act together. Thunder are a lot better than I thought. Denver, I knew would be good, maybe a little bit better than I thought. I still think the Clippers are overachieving. I think Portland's right around where I thought they would be. Dallas maybe a little bit better than I thought they'd be. It's a tough decision. You know, it depends.
Yeah.
If the Lakers could get, I mean, would this absolutely fortify their chance to win their first, host a first round and win a first round and maybe play a second round series with length? The answer's probably yes for me. And if you come to that conclusion, you probably make the trade. We'll see.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. West Virginia quarterback and draft prospect Will Greer's decided to skip the Camping World Bowl against Syracuse on December 28th. Now, West Virginia football tweeted a letter from Greer. They did this on Saturday. The numbers are incredible. 40 touchdowns, 8 picks. I mean, listen, all these college numbers are like arcades.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's what. But he is obviously a highly rated pro prospect. He's not going to play. Quote, I've decided to not participate in our upcoming bowl game and focus on prepping myself and my family for what I hope is the next step in our journey. In or out, the idea, and by the way, Gary from Michigan's not playing. The kid, Greedy Williams, LSU cornerback, not playing. Ed Oliver, Houston, D-tackle, not playing. Yeah. A lot of people aren't playing.
Well, and a lot of those guys you can understand because there's an injury risk. Not necessarily so for quarterback.
Well, I hear you.
Really.
I mean,
not the way they play offense. BT. The ball's out of his hands in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I hear you. He tucks it and runs ACL. Yeah. But I hear you. It's a little different. But in or out, the idea of skipping bowl games is better in theory than execution for NFL draft prospects.
I think you're right. I think it sounds really good. So inbounds to me. I think it sounds really good. But then you start looking at the bowl games and say, well, then why are you even playing them? You go to these bowl games not for experience for the young kids. It's for a showcase or a celebration for what some of these guys have accomplished throughout their seasons and in some cases their careers. But the NFL is the bigger prize. And so I get it. It just looks bad. It's like, why am I going to watch this bowl game, this Camping World Bowl game, if Will Greer, who's exciting, is not even playing?
Yeah, well, the answer is you're probably not. I mean, listen, but I don't begrudge these young men for doing this. I've come very quickly, I've turned my opinion. I've changed my opinion on this. You know, I was always somebody that, and I still do certainly at my core. I'm not saying that I would do this if I was in their position. Although, you know what? I might, given the trend. Honestly, there's so much money at stake. But I am somebody, I believe in camaraderie. You know that.
No doubt.
I would love to run out of the tunnel. You would as well. One more time, the guys I came in
with.
I'm all about that stuff. But I also understand if you're a quarterback and there's 30, 40, 50 million, you get to that second contract, 80, 90, 100 more. You got to position yourself properly. And if you think this is going to cut into your time to prep, I'm not gonna hold a grudge against you here. I say out of bounds, though, because I don't know that there's enough evidence to really point to this and say that it's one thing or the other.
It's just happened to you. It's only happened really the last couple of years.
McCaffrey did it. It's a very recent trend. It's a
Leonard
little too
Fournette.
Early. Fournette didn't play. He was always banged up at LSU. He's banged up in the pros too. Say out of bounds. It's an interesting phase that I think is only going to get worse.
I
think you'll see fewer and fewer stars playing.
I agree.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Steve. Yesterday, how about this? Drove me nuts. I mean, this is real. Baseball Hall of Fame's a joke, and it has been for a while. So it was announced that former closer Lee Smith and Harold Baines, outfielder, who played for like 19 teams, selected into Cooperstown. Now, Smith and Baines both elected by the Today's Game Era Committee. It's a 16-member group assembled by the Hall of Fame to assess players who have been retired for at least 15 years, and they've been passed over by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Now, yesterday's announcement came as a big surprise. Smith received over 50% of the Writers Association votes only once in 15 tries, and Baines's high watermark was only 6%. Smith finished with a 478 career save mark in 18 years, while Baines played 22 years. He had 384 home runs, and he batted .289. In or out, Cooperstown is becoming the Hall of the Very Good instead of the Hall of Fame.
I think we could kind of draw this conclusion, but I'm going to say out of bounds for this specific situation. So he played from 80 to 2001. So back in the 80s, the DH was not, I mean, it was frowned upon. I think this is a precedent-setting mood for Major League Baseball, because if you start looking at wars, wins above replacement, for guys who spent the majority of their careers at a DH, Harold Baines is fourth. Now, there's other guys ahead of him. Frank Thomas's was ridiculous. Like
back-to-back MVPs, the big hurt.
Ridiculous. But it's setting up the conversation for David Ortiz, whose war is about 55 or so. And so as a precedent-setting move, I like it. But just from listening to people around baseball, Harold Baines doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But as a DH, he's setting the precedent for the other DHs that are to come behind him.
Yeah, but so, it doesn't mean that precedent's correct. This is absolutely inbound.
I'm saying it.
But
it's just one. So you can't say the Hall is just Hall of Very Good if it's just one example that we're pointing to.
No, but I'm
it's a good question, D.C.
It's a very good one, and we're going to expound on this. I got a lot to say. Obviously, it's a different format here, but it's kind of quicker reaction. Mm-hmm. We can circle back to this a little later in the third hour.
Yeah, I nuanced it to death.
Harold Baines was not even close to being a superstar. Not even close.
No, I know.
And I'm not just reacting to Harold Baines. I'm reacting to the recent trends here. If you put Harold Baines in, I was collecting cards. I kind of remember when he came up, and I certainly remember 95% of his career. Don Mattingly, Keith Hernandez, Albert Bell. There are so many players that run circles. And this is what I hate about this.
But not primary DHs.
Who cares? It wasn't a difference maker. I can't work up the energy. Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame? Teague, listen to
okay,
me.
What about Lee, what about Lee
one.
Smith?
I'm much more okay with Lee Smith.
Good, because I met Lee Smith and I like him. He's such a great dude.
No, I'm much more
and
okay.
And he retired as the all-time save leader. Obviously.
Lee Smith was borderline dominant multiple seasons. Harold Baines was not.
And imposing as hell, Lee Smith.
He looks like a badass in that picture, doesn't he? Harold Baines played all these years, Teague. He led the league in one offensive category.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, the pro reference or pro football, pro baseball reference, whatever. The black lines, the black
dot. The bold.
The bold, once.
Yeah. And not many bolds and not many italics under Harold Baines. That's a real reach.
Exit. Come on, Mike. There's an exit.
What's going on there?
D-Cell told him not
Put the cameras on the guys who messed up. Those
on,
two clowns.
Mike. Come on, Mike.
What are you doing?
Come on, Mike. Blame D-Cell.
Look at D-Cell's getting all tense. Oh, he's rolling the eyes. We know you like a book. What happened? Why didn't you play the close?
Well, we got a crossfade in music for our back time music here.
What?
I got you.
Don't hit us up with that fancy radio lingo. What did you say?
We don't know what you're talking about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.